everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with John Couch. Good to see you, John, after a nice break. It was great to get away. John is my engineer producer on the other side of the glass, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on Tuesday, the Tuesday after Labor Day, whenever we have one of those three-day weekends. What does it feel like? Feels like a Monday. It isn't. It's Tuesday, September the 3rd, 2019. My thanks quickly, and they deserve the thanks. My guest hosts and friends who so ably held down the Buckmaster Show fort while I was up on Vancouver Island, Canada, trying to get some cool air. We had a little bit of it, although temperatures up there were unusually warm, too. Nothing like Tucson. We're, you know, talking about upper 70s. That's still very, very doable. Evenings in the 50s, very pleasant. Thanks to Ray Allen, KVOI operations manager, Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. He's seated right across from me, Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, giving me a thumbs up. Thanks, Shell. You did a great show. Dan Gibson, A Visit Tucson. Dan Shear did a couple of shows from Green Valley News and Sahrita Sun. I am so blessed to have such a great backup team that is there for me, and the quality of the program does not diminish one iota. So that's the good news. Another great guy that we are so pleased to have with us, Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Mo Udall, going on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected governmental affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano. They have a couple of very important clients here in town. They represent the city of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you?
Oh, Bill, I'm wonderful. I'm a bit exhausted. Just returned from my 23rd visit over Labor Day to a tournament at Sand Hills Golf Club, one of the top 10 courses in the world. It's in Nebraska in the Sand Hills. And we played 126 holes in 4 days.
Oh, my goodness. And as I recall, I know you've done this now 23 years. Sometimes you have brought home the championship. How'd you do this time?
I didn't bring home anything.
You brought yourself home.
Except a lighter wallet, maybe.
Some aches and pains and all that, maybe. But yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm getting old. But it's just a glorious golf course. And some of the most down-to-earth, wonderful people in the world you meet out in the Sand Hills of Nebraska, ranchers and farmers and really great people. I'll tell you, I came back with an interesting insight. I think that Trump is really losing support in farm states.
Really?
I talked to people who 2 or 3 years ago I'd seen out there, and they were all gung-ho, and now they're all voting against him because of the farm economy.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's just off the record.
Yeah. And whether one agrees or not, there's been a lot of whispering lately about how the president is behaving. Do you think there will be any attempt to actually remove him from office, or is it kind of a little late for that at this point?
Well, Bill, I think the odds are long, but not impossible. Many Republicans here in Washington are concerned about the president's wild swings from day to day, and particularly with his effort to control the Federal Reserve Board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the heart of our system, and Shelley can talk more about this, is a strict independence of the central bank. And the Fed's supposed to make money supply decisions based strictly upon, you know, economic well-being. Almost every president comes to dislike some of their decisions, but that's the way it has to be.
Well, what is Trump doing specifically to the Fed?
Well, he's pushing the Fed to continually lower interest rates and print more money to further gin up the economy to help his reelection. And it's just his public criticisms of Chairman Jerome Powell, his own appointee, is reportedly now concerning foreign governments, which invest heavily in treasury bonds and cover our deficit. As long as that continues, we can get away with running deficits, but a loss of belief in the dollar causing investors to turn to other currencies could cause a massive economic crisis in our nation.
Getting back to this, the possible, and you, as you say, it's a long shot, the possible removal of a president, just bring us up to date. How would that work, Terry Bracey?
Well, there are two ways. The first, of course, is impeachment. Only two presidents, Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson, suffered that indignity. Neither was convicted, however, in the Senate. It's a difficult thing to pull off, which is what the founders intended. After a thorough investigation, the House must bring a bill of impeachment to the floor and get a majority vote and send that to the Senate where the trial happens, and a conviction requires a two-thirds majority. Very, very hard to do.
Then there's the 25th Amendment.
Well, indeed, and that's yet to be invoked. The amendment provides that upon receipt of a letter to Congress signed by the vice president and the majority of the cabinet saying that the president's unable to perform the duties of office, he's removed, and the vice president becomes the active president.
That's kind of a stretch to think that Trump's cabinet would turn on him like that, don't you think?
Yes, I do. But interestingly, the amendment provides for another way that can happen, and that's if opposition in Congress is such, they can appoint a special committee to decide the issue.
Hmm.
Unlikely, though it seems, this is the first time, really since Watergate, when I've heard open speculation in town about removing a president from office.
Really? Let's talk about, we all know about the president's struggle with the truth, but has anything in particular really piqued the anger of Republicans on the Hill?
Well, the trade war with China and apparently everybody else has left the farm states with the highest bankruptcies on record, and with many of their best markets gone, farm income throughout the Midwest is way, way down. And in states like Minnesota, Michigan, Ohio, and Pennsylvania, the public's turned against him, if you believe the polls, and he seems to be leading his party in those states to an electoral disaster. The way the president has, as I said, politicized the Federal Reserve Board, I'd love to hear what Shelley has to say with that. His daily threats across the world have shaken the defense establishment also, and all of this causes people to wonder if the president is in his right mind.
How about the Democratic race for president? New York Times today had a front page piece, Terry Bracey, talking about Joe Biden, and that he's been asked a couple of times, why do you want to be president? And sometimes the answers, I guess, weren't all that concise or whatever. There still seems to be some questions around a Biden, but how do you see the race right now, Terry?
Well, effectively, as of this month, the contenders have been cut in half. So only 10 will appear in the next debate on television. And what I've noticed most has been the rise of Elizabeth Warren, who's gone right past Bernie Sanders in the polls with progressives, but more than that, seems to be making real progress with the moderates in the party. I watched several of her recent performances and was very, very impressed. I had this impression of a schoolmarmish kind of candidate who was going to turn people off, particularly men. But after I've watched her a couple of times, I think she is demonstrating a lot of charisma on the stump. And I think that's why her poll numbers are continuing to climb. I would keep an eye on Elizabeth Warren.
What about Biden?
It's possible, but I don't think he's going to win Iowa, if that makes any difference. I think Warren will win Iowa.
Hmm.
And, sort of once the king's veil is pierced, it becomes very hard for a front runner to regain momentum. It's really the hardest thing to do in politics. And so I think whoever rolls out of, Senator Biden's best hope would be New Hampshire.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, I think he's going to struggle with Warren. I don't think Sanders, even though he's a neighbor. But I think Warren, she's got the best organizations everywhere.
Hey, before you go, and I've got Shelley with me. Shelley, do you want to make a, because Terry had brought you into the conversation, wanted to hear how you thought about polarizing the Federal Reserve, politicizing, excuse me, the Federal Reserve. So here's Shelley. Go ahead, Shelley.
Well, there's two things to say about that. The first is just the politicization and all of the implications around our credibility around the world in having an independent Federal Reserve Bank is very, very important. But there's been a lot written about the effect, long-term effects of very low interest rates and how it can cause people to be borrowing money past, number one, their need for the money, and two, their ability to pay it back should interest rates increase. So there are significant risks to the economy in having artificially low interest rates because it can, in fact, kind of double back on you and create a bubble that can burst.
All right. There you go, Terry Bracey. How's that?
Thanks, Shelley. I hadn't thought about the second point at all. That's really interesting.
All right. Terry, thank you very much. I'm glad you had a successful Labor Day weekend on the golf course, and it's great to hear your voice. Thank you very much.
Okay. See you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Bye. Terry Bracey with us, our contributor on Washington, and Shelley Fishman is going to be next after we hear from our friends that support our program. But before we turn it over to hear about the messages from our great sponsors. One of the sponsors I'll tell you about right now, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, only a three-hour drive from Tucson. You know, the temperatures over there, probably at midday, I don't have it in front of me right now, but over in Silver City, I would guess it's probably in the upper 80s. That's a big difference from Tucson, and enough of a difference to make a three-hour drive to Southwest New Mexico. Go to southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and things to do in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Back with Shelley right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Boy, and I've got so much to consult with Shelley Fishman about, beginning with the stock market today having another bad day. And there are all sorts of, first of all, Shelley, as I said in the beginning of the program, thank you.
Thank you, Bill. It was a great opportunity.
It was a great hour that you put together last Thursday. But there are so many things playing now against the market. I mean, look what's going on in the United Kingdom. Look what's going on with the Chinese tariffs. I'm sure it's all playing into this.
It's all playing into the doubt and uncertainty that's creating turmoil in the market. You know, toward the beginning of the year, we were getting 2 days up and one, one back, and then two up and one back. Yep. That's reversed. We're not now getting two down and one up, two down and one up. The volatility is the same. I think if you were to chart it or graph it, it would look about the same, but it's turned in the other direction right now. And it's because you can't plan. As a business person, you can't plan. And therefore, the forecasts that are coming out of the business community are all strewn with doubt. And, you know, investors don't like to hear that. So I think what we're seeing now is doubt. As you said, the Brits have just gone nuts. I don't know what's going on with Brexit. We could get actually a no-confidence vote in Boris Johnson later today or tomorrow, which would force an election. And the election could cause the Labour Party to come in. Normally, that wouldn't be a tragedy, except the head of the Labour Party is some sort of nut job.
Oh, boy. The dollar is certainly strong and benefiting from all of this, but, you know, you talk
about... Well, the dollar benefits, that's very nice if you're a tourist, an American tourist in Europe.
Exactly.
But if you're a manufacturer trying to sell your stuff overseas, you know, you're SOL, to use an expression
I can't translate. Yeah, of course not.
Yeah, the manufacturing costs have just gone sky high. If you're manufacturing stuff that requires, say, imported steel or imported aluminum, you're paying tariffs on that to get in. You put the stuff together, and then you've got a very, very high dollar to ship it out of the country. It is creating turmoil in the manufacturing sector, which is now officially, I believe, as of this morning, in contraction.
Did you see that piece in the New York Times about shareholder value? It's no longer everything. Top CEOs seem to agree on that.
Wow. So
that was in the Times.
You and I have periodically had this discussion about what the stakeholders are for a corporation and how the corporation has a responsibility to balance the needs and concerns of all of its stakeholders, not just its shareholders. And now the business roundtable comes up. You know, that's 200 of the United States' most prominent CEOs comes up, and after over 20 years of supporting the Milton Friedman school of trickle-down corporate responsibility, which says that your only responsibility is to your shareholders and your only responsibility is to increase their wealth. Now, you know, the intellectual basis around that is that that will all trickle down, and in free markets, shareholders will use that wealth to the long-term advantage of corporations and the economy in general. That hasn't played out. So now the Business Roundtable has issued a new policy, a new letter, if you will, which says that there are other stakeholders that CEOs must consider in balancing policies for their corporations.
Like the employees?
Employees being one, suppliers being another. And interestingly, they finally included the environment and the long-term reliance that companies have on the infrastructure to get goods in, to ship goods out, to maintain communications, the supply chain. Mm-hmm. So this is a huge step for these, you know, CEOs. Now, the question is, were they just kind of, you know, blowing wind, or will the industry associations begin to take up that call? And most importantly, will chambers of commerce start reflecting those kinds of policies in the legislative agendas that they put forth every year? Because if they start thinking about raising employee benefits and salaries, if they start thinking about long-term objectives of the corporations rather than quarterly objectives of the corporations, that could be, you know, really a sea change in the way we think about companies.
Where's the customer in all of this?
Well, that's great. The customer isn't
mentioned.
I
know the employees are important, certainly, but, you know, the people who buy the products, what about them?
Okay, so the Business Roundtable doesn't even think about customers in this, which is baffling to me. But, you know, when you think about what a customer is really concerned about, one of the things, of course, is to make sure that they don't overpay. So in kind of balancing the needs of customers with the needs of the shareholder, for instance, those two things pull at each other. The idea that customers want lower prices and shareholders don't necessarily have an interest in lowering prices. But more importantly, if you're a large customer, if you're a customer who relies on a product over a period of time, you need to have the supplier of that product, the manufacturer of that product, be stable and profitable in order to keep that product alive, to keep that product supported, to keep that product updated, and so that you can have a kind of a gradual, a gradual movement from one generation of the product to the next generation of the product, so that you're not disrupted by having to change suppliers and manufacturers. So balancing the needs of customers in that whole equation, at least in my mind, is extremely important.
And I think customer service also goes with that.
Oh, yeah.
Having just returned from a vacation where we rely on, you know, when you're on vacation, you're thinking about customer service. There's a lot of room for improvement.
absolutely. And, yeah.
Beginning with the airlines.
The question is,
Yeah.
I mean, do you come back?
Yeah.
Now, if it's a monopoly or duopoly, you might not have choices. But where you have choices, if customer service is bad, you're going to switch.
That's right.
And so if you are the CEO of a company, you have to balance all of those interests. And the idea that the conference board, or rather the business roundtable, conference board or something else, that the business roundtable would finally embrace that kind of balancing act. And that implies a longer view of what profitability should be, not just a quarter or a year, but maybe a 5 or 10 year view. That's very, very encouraging. And I think, again, if the business associations and chambers of commerce get on board with that, that could make a big change in how we view our economy.
And how does the whole return for shareholders, that thinking had been every year you've got to have X amount of percent at least to return to keep the shareholders happy, maybe now there'll be a little, maybe not so much emphasis on shareholder value?
Well, shareholders, stockholders,
and
investors,
only got about 45 seconds.
Investors need to know that they have their money placed in places that is optimizing their investments. And so shareholders tend to have a shorter term view. One of the reasons is because they can turn over stocks. You know, you can buy company A, sell, buy company B. You know, with their advisors, they tend not to be loyal necessarily. But if this becomes a more widespread kind of movement, mm-hmm. then shareholders will go along.
All right. You can find out more about Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner, on my website, buckmastershow.com. Shelley, hope you have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Thanks.
Opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
All right, welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by my favorite nursery in town, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Green Things, a destination in itself now, 13 acres, not just for plants, but they have all that great merchandise from Zocalo. Many of you who've been in Tucson a while may remember Zocalo used to be over by Country Club and Broadway, had that great store with all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Well, now it's part of the Green Things family. In fact, there are five shops at what's called Zocalo Village at Green Things. So go to greenthingsaz.com for more information. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show. Max Fisher is here. Max is the industrial properties and investment sales specialist at PICOR Commercial Real Estate Services. Max, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
How are your area of expertise is the industrial market. And I was just reading in the paper over the weekend that Amazon with their new distribution center, is going to be hiring, I think, up to 1,500 people. Those are that's a good boost for our economy, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep.
How is the industrial market looking? Give us kind of an overview.
The industrial market, we're at an all-time low in terms of vacancy. So manufacturing and distribution is really leading the charge, and then contractors are taking up space. It's just really moving along steadily, healthy growth, and we can't complain right now.
What is a good percentage to have as far as a vacancy with industrial?
Well, I guess
because I can remember over the years, Max, that space, that number's been up to 15 to 20%. So right now, it's what?
Around 5%.
Is that considered healthy in the economy to have it about 5%? Or does it get to a point, Max, where it goes too low that perhaps new businesses looking at Tucson are going to say, there's a need for more space?
Yeah, that's a great point. It is healthy, but we're getting to a point where we're filling up spaces and it's becoming difficult to find space. But comparatively speaking, compared to Los Angeles or Phoenix, we still have a little more vacancy, so I really don't see that part of the industrial market.
Where
happening.
Is the vacancy? What type of are we still in the south part of the valley, or where is the vacancies?
Yeah, most of it's down by the airport.
Mm-hmm. And that area is very attractive because we've got this what's called Port of Tucson, so people are able to move product very easily, right?
Yep. Yeah. People like to be by the airport because it's near I-10. You've got planes, trains, and trucks coming in, and it's a good location down there.
How does the industrial market affect our economy?
The industrial market affects our economy because, if we have a low vacancy, that means our vacant buildings are being filled, and filled buildings means jobs, it means tax revenue, all the signs of a healthy economy.
How is the automation changing the whole manufacturing business?
This is a good question because there's been a lot of talk lately about automation coming in and taking out a lot of jobs.
Replacing machinists and on and on, right?
Yeah, but from my experience, that has not been the case. Owners of manufacturing companies are really struggling to find skilled machinists. They're really tough to find right now, and believe it or not, those are pretty good jobs, especially in Tucson, where manufacturing usually relates to mining, aerospace, and defense.
How can the whole economic picture be driven more toward helping to fuel the economic or the industrial market, Max?
There are a few ways that can happen. I think the most important parts are, as a community, being pro-business on, multiple layers, the political level, just as a community, property owners, when we all work together, private and public, reducing some of the red tape and regulations, creating incentives for companies to move here or expand here.
So much has changed because of Amazon leading the way, and people now expect they want service, and they want in some cases a product delivered the same day to their home. How is that? Are we in a pretty good position here in Tucson with a strong industrial market to service that economy?
We are. It's a very interesting part right now because you see buildings like Target on Broadway, mm-hmm. Office Depot on Broadway shutting down. But those closings are actually fueling the industrial market. I just did a deal with a company called GoPuff out at 22nd and Pantano. It took 7,000 square feet of warehouse.
GoPuff?
GoPuff.
P-U-F-F?
Yes.
What do they do?
So they distribute directly from their warehouse to your door, whether you want ice cream, beer, wine, toilet papers.
What?
Yeah, Advil, whatever you need. So you can imagine how that's going to affect, Target, Walgreens, CVS, stuff like that.
I need an aspirin. They can get, they can bring that to the house.
Yeah, exactly. Within an hour.
Are they a new company?
They're relatively new. They did have a location downtown for, I want to say, a year or two, and now they're just expanding to the east side, and I'm sure we'll see a few more pop out throughout the area.
And of course, that the whole thing with the shopping centers and your the how that is going to be repurposed. I mean, they're not going to go away. I think shopping centers are not going to disappear, but the way that space will be utilized is going to change.
Yeah, absolutely. It's already changing now. For example, Grant and Alvernon, where mm-hmm. Fry's used to be, a gym just went in there. So it seems like the retail closures are turning more into like food and entertainment rather than people walking in and buying something.
I think that's good. So overall, Max Fisher, your conclusion, we've got a strong industrial market and that vacancy rate is about right. Do we need to be building and bringing some more space in?
We're on the cusp of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would say as long as the economy keeps going that direction, we'll see more spec development pop up, you know, towards the end of the year or start of next year.
Let us know. Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Bill.
Max Fisher with PICOR Commercial Real Estate Services. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show on 10:30. Trusted local news and talk. Up next, Dr. Ray Woosley with our monthly Your Meds segment. Everything you need to know about taking control of your health care. Any questions? 790-2040. Be right back.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense. Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It is Bill Buckmaster back in the saddle after a week or so up in up on Vancouver Island, where it was, we were expecting it to be probably a little cooler than it was, but it's been warm pretty much everywhere in North America. So they were temperatures up near 80 degrees, and everybody up there was,
how could it be 80 degrees? They were complaining, this is terrible. This is a real heat wave. Anyway, it's time for our monthly segment on the Buckmaster Show, focusing on your medication. We call it Your Meds, and it features Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former University of Arizona College of Medicine dean. He's the founder and now president emeritus of an organization that's just taken off and done so well. It's based here in Tucson. It's Critical Path Institute, commonly referred to as CPATH. Dr. Woosley is also the co-director of the Clinical Data Analytics and Decision Support at the UA College of Medicine in Phoenix. A lot of people don't know that UA even has a College of Medicine, Dr. Woosley, up in Phoenix.
Indeed.
We're one of the few probably universities in the country to be in two major cities.
We are the only one I know to have two separately accredited medical schools with about 100 and 120 students in each.
Wow.
And it's been a real pleasure working with them to help the school in Phoenix get started.
So you got to go up there every so often.
Yes.
You have to battle.
I love the drive to Phoenix.
There you go.
But I wouldn't move out of Tucson for anything.
No. Dr. Woosley's latest venture, which is doing very well, is Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. The Credible Meds website is very easy to use, and a lot of people are using it. Over 2,000 people from 180 countries each day use crediblemeds.org. This thing about drug shortages, people are asking, how could a country like the United States have a prescription drug shortage?
It just doesn't make sense,
no.
Does it? I mean,
no.
We hear every day how many opiates everybody's been shipped and how big an epidemic that is. And we already know that the average American takes about 7 to 10 medicines every day. Prescriptions every year.
And some take a lot more.
Exactly. Average patient over 65 takes about 12 medicines.
Whoa.
I was telling you earlier, I've got a data sheet in front of me that looks at 50 patients in Arizona, and the average was almost 11 at all times, not once a year, or
whoa,
but at all times taking 11. One, the range was from 3 to 37 medicines.
Wait a minute. Did you say someone is taking 37?
They have those prescribed for them. And whether they're taking them, I can't imagine them living through that.
But I just, can you think of how these medicines, and that's one of the benefits of crediblemeds.org, is finding out medicines interact. Can you imagine, Dr. Woosley, what the interactions would be on 37 medications?
Well, we looked at how many warnings that were generated, and average was 14 per person.
Oh my!
Interactions between those medicines.
Whoa! And some of these interactions can be deadly.
Absolutely, and that's the ones we focus on at Credible Meds, the ones that can cause your heart to stop beating and you black out and cause an arrhythmia. And there are about 50 drugs on the market today. 14 have been taken off the market, but there remain 50 medicines that can cause this problem. Now, thank goodness it's very rare,
mm-hmm.
but we've been working with the U of A, and that's part of the program in Phoenix, is to use the electronic medical record to find out who's at high risk. It's not just the medicines. It's the profile that's in the medical record.
Where is the shortage? Are we talking about hundreds of drugs in the critical shortage area?
We are. It's like right now, we've got about 265 drugs, medicines,
uh-huh.
that are in acute shortage. And every month, the FDA posts the list. And you look at it, and it's medicines that are absolutely important, antibiotics, injectable medicines. For example, if you are in a car wreck and you go into shock,
right,
and you need a shot of adrenaline,
mm-hmm.
that adrenaline isn't always in the crash cart.
Whoa.
Hospital doctors actually have to carry some in their pocket in case they need to use it. Children with childhood leukemia can't get chemotherapy that's 40, 50 years old, but still the best treatment for them. And there are data from St. Jude's showing that children are dying because they're not being able to get the best chemotherapy because nobody's making it.
Oh, that is horrible. And why are the drug companies not making these drugs? Are we talking about bottom line profit here?
Well, it is, but it's the relative profit. Okay. They can come out with a new product and charge up to $1 million for a single treatment. Why would you, or they could make a product and sell it for $20,000, $30,000 a year. Why would you spend time making adrenaline, which is going to sell for $5 or $10, even though it's life-saving?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of priorities. And the pharmaceutical industry has been given incentives to make very expensive medicines and no incentives to make these more equally important medicines that save lives every day.
That Valley Fever medicine's gone up 1,000%.
Exactly. You know, that's the other thing. What about generic drugs?
Yeah.
Why can't generic drugs be cheaper?
It used to be, well, somebody would say, I'd like the generic. It's going to be a lot cheaper. That margin between the name brand and the generic has really shrunk, hasn't it?
It has. Yeah. And the profits for you know, again, when you don't have to negotiate a price and you just put a product out and say, this is going to be the price we're charging. And there have been examples in the press where some rogue buys a drug, access to a drug, and then starts selling it at and gouges the price. So it's an unregulated business. And, you know, the drug market is not like most markets where, you know, the rules are supply and demand. Because the supply doesn't care about the demand. It cares about who prescribes it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go out to buy a car, you decide what kind of car you want.
Right.
You get a new, very expensive medicine, you don't decide that. Your doctor decides that.
Mm-hmm.
And most doctors don't know how much a medicine's going to cost you.
Mm.
And you often don't know until you get to the drugstore and find out.
Mm.
So we've got a broken financial model for medicines. About 10 years ago, the Medicare drug Part D was approved. Maybe it was more than that. And so medicines are now being provided to people, but they're not getting the negotiation that would keep those prices low.
How about other countries like buying from Canada? Is that now possible or what?
It's being talked about.
Okay.
I think it's a serious problem because we can't control the medicines that come from Canada. Our FDA is responsible for the medicines that are marketed in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to Canada or go to Mexico, you don't have the FDA controls that mm-hmm. are really the gold standard for manufacturing purity and safety.
So a patient has really little or no opportunity to shop for a prescription drug.
Well, they have some, but it's yeah. not what you'd like.
To get the best price.
Yeah. You can go online or you can ask your pharmacist, is the best thing for me to do is put this on my drug plan? Would it be actually cheaper if I were to pay cash? Sometimes the drug plan markup is more than you would pay just by paying cash for some older generic drugs.
And as you point out, that the physicians rarely know the cost of the prescriptions that they are providing and prescribing.
There was a bill being debated in Congress that would require the price be posted for all drugs, especially mm-hmm. on TV ads.
Right.
And the drug industry fought that tooth and nail, and I think it's probably not going to go anywhere.
I guess not. How about Credible Med's website? How can that be of service?
Well, we recommend it because we have at the website sort of general basic principles, the kind of questions you can ask when you go to your pharmacist or your doctor to make sure you're using the right medicine and you're using it in the right way. Are there ways to save money? Those same questions can save lives. The Credible Med's website allows you to create a list of your medicines and then email that to your doctor or a pharmacist, and it will tell you if any of the medicines on that list are able to affect your heart in bad ways, induce the arrhythmias that mm-hmm. we talked about, so you can let your doctor know. And we're in the middle of, very soon we hope to announce integrating that program with drug interactions mm-hmm. that actually calculate a score, a risk score for mm-hmm. you for potential harm from your medicines.
Mm.
That we hope to launch in the next month or two, and I'll be glad to announce that.
Please, we'll be listening for that. Now, you know, getting back, that number that just sticks in my head is the individual that's taking 37 different prescriptions, I assume, in one day, the kind of a daily use. Would you guess there would be a ton of interreactions?
Well, according to our program,
yes,
that I was talking about, on this patient who's taking 37 medicines, there are 66 known interactions between all those medicines. Now, obviously, some of them are minor, but most, we try to focus on the major interactions that are dangerous. Hmm. So my guess is they're probably not taking all those medicines. They're probably like, you know, we have these medicine take-back days in most parts of the country.
Uh-huh.
And Credible Meds worked with the one in Oro Valley for many years, and people would bring in just garbage bags filled with prescription bottles that they didn't take, they didn't complete taking, and thankfully people were turning them in to be destroyed safely instead of being poured into our aquifer.
Do you imagine that a lot of people do that?
I think they do.
They
shop doctors, and they every time they go to the doctor, they get a new prescription.
Mm.
But we're paying for that, and sadly, many of these people are taking these medicines, or many of them, and if you've got 66 chances for interaction, if you're only taking 20% of those medicines, you're still in trouble.
Mm. How about interactions then with over-the-counter products?
In order to become an over-the-counter...
prescription that interacts with an over-the-counter product.
There are major dangers for that. And most of the doctors don't, when they write a prescription mm-hmm. for a medicine, they don't know all the over-the-counter medicines you're taking.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we encourage everybody to keep that complete list. And one of the things about our list is it prompts you to say, are you taking anything else? Are you taking a hormone that could be considered a medicine?
Are you taking a supplement?
A supplement. These are real medicines. Mm-hmm. And are you using, do you have an abnormal diet in any mm-hmm. way? Are mm-hmm. you on a liquid protein diet?
Right.
Because that can be extremely
dangerous. Do you do a bunch of these energy drinks?
Exactly. We talked about last month, the grapefruit juice. You know, when you take a list of medicines and you want to use them safely, you got to look at other things like what you're eating and what kind of food you're taking into your body with those medicines.
I've only got about a minute or two, less than 2 minutes, but I had a flu shot over the 3-day weekend, and I was over at my local pharmacy, and they said, hey, the flu shots are ready, and I'm going, well, it seems kind of early for a flu shot, but I thought, well, I might as well. And then the pharmacist tells me that I guess in other parts of the world, they gauge this, that the flu season started in the southern hemisphere earlier than usual. They're expecting an early start to the season.
Interesting. I hadn't heard that.
So I got a flu shot, but the pharmacist assured me that it would be good through the season.
Well, if it's the right strain this year, I think that it's very likely to work long enough. So getting them too early is not a problem. Getting them too late is a problem.
Yes, it is. And I know you do recommend flu shots.
Absolutely. And making sure that you talk to your doctor about what are the new vaccines that are mm-hmm. out now for people, because used to be pneumococcal pneumonia was a major problem for especially the elderly. We have a vaccine now for pneumococcal pneumonia that can prevent that.
I have actually taken that, so there you go.
You're up to date.
There you go. Dr. Woosley, crediblemeds.org, the place to go. Always a pleasure. Thank you, and we'll see you in October. Where has this year gone?
I know.
October already? That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show on 1030, the voice trusted local news and talk. Thanks, John Couch, on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing our show. Dave Ramsey, his show is next on our retooled lineup here on KVOI, and hope you'll stick around for the Ramsey Show right after this. Have a great week. There you go.